This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, where we're talking about the hustle. Is hustle culture productive or toxic? So the word hustle is now used to describe a lifestyle popularized by influencers like Gary Vee, who defined it as, quote, maximizing every last bit of energy you have in order to produce. But is the hustle culture actually productive, or is it putting all your energy into work a toxic endeavor? Let's go over to Twitter and see what we have over there.
Yeah, so Asu Phi tweets, work must be accompanied by rest. We are designed for both, which I totally agree with. Rudzaini Rahman says, anything done in excess can be toxic. Hustling doesn't mean one can't take care of their health. It doesn't mean one needs to cut their ties with friends and family. It means prioritizing whatever is priority in one's life at the moment, and one shouldn't need to hustle for the rest of their life only until they get whatever goals they set out to achieve, which I totally agree with as well. Fair enough.
Over to WhatsApp. Oh, what have you got?
Yeah, so this is not so much about the story, more about the song. It comes from Matthew Ng, who says that, I was just thinking of the song The Hustle when you were covering The Hustle and you guys played it.
Ah, you see, that's what we do.
We love our puns and stuff, don't we?
We do. Over to Cindy Chews over on the Instagram. She says, if you are really so busy hustling, you shouldn't have to post it on social media. True. Hashtag fake. We've got Hayden Lim, who says toxic. Gary Wong is saying it depends on the end game. Renee Shree says, as Gary V had said, if working is what gives you happiness, do it. If not, do what makes you happy the most. There you go. That's where we are so far. Let us know what you think. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. We've got about another 40 minutes. Moving on to story number two. It's this thing called the Unlonely Project. Have you heard of it? No?
No.
Well, okay. I will today.
It's an offshoot of the Boston-based Foundation for Art and Healing.
Okay.
And they work to combat loneliness and social isolation, but they're doing it in the US. And they've now got this particular focus on workplaces. In a country where more than 40% of people said that they are lonely, they are, quote, people bring their loneliness to work. So project staff working with one major tech company who they haven't named have said that they learned that many of the firm's employees, particularly younger males, were struggling with basic interpersonal skills to a degree that was hurting their work teams. They said that the employer has having to start teaching employees how to make eye contact as part of their new hire training. You can't collaborate and connect with other people if you can't make eye contact. Helping employees learn those skills is good for their business model. So it comes from one of the companies. It is a company out of the big five, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. It is one of those companies. So the idea is, if you have trouble making eye contact, they say there's this thing called the 50-70 rule. This is something where you make eye contact for 50% of the time when you're speaking and 70% when you're listening. Establish eye contact before you start to speak. Hold it for 4 or 5 seconds. Look to one side, and then, you know, you should be fine. So this is the thing. For people raised in a screen-saturated environment and who perhaps are more comfortable in technology-mediated interactions than face-to-face ones, these basic conversational skills may not feel all that intuitive. People in the US now spend an estimated 10 hours a day in front of screens. The same technology that has enabled distributed teams and remote work also makes it easier to get through a workday without having to engage in a productive face-to-face conversation. Lynn Goldman, she's the dean of the Institute School of Public Health at George Washington University. She said that she fears that if a person has made it to adulthood without learning how to hold appropriate eye contact during a conversation, it might be a little too late to master it. Now, I'd never really thought about this until, Chris, you mentioned something a little bit earlier on as well.
Yeah.
And about how much screen time people are actually exposed to on a day-to-day basis. And very rarely do people have these in-depth eye-to-eye conversations anymore, unless you're in a business meeting, unless you're out with your friends in the evening or whatever. But when it's one of those just getting to know somebody, I have noticed it in the last few years, people making less and less eye contact.
Yeah, I personally am a little bit uncomfortable with eye contact, which is a weird thing to admit as someone that interviews people yeah. for my job. But, you know, for me, if I'm comfortable with someone, eye contact is kind of fine. But after a while, I genuinely start to feel physically uncomfortable. Mm. And I can't put there's no reason for it. It's not like I'm I don't know. I can't even explain why it makes me feel uncomfortable, but I almost feel like it's really invasive.
Right.
And for me, it's kind of like just because I'm not necessarily making eye contact with you all of the time doesn't mean that I'm not listening or that I'm not, you know, paying attention or something like that as well. But it's something that I didn't realize made me feel uncomfortable until I read the article because my brain went, oh, but like, I feel that way a lot sometimes. Mm. So to see a tech company kind of having to establish this class, essentially, you know, to retrain people to make eye contact, it makes me a bit uncomfortable. The other thing that I want to bring up also is that this makes me uncomfortable also because a lot of neurodivergent people are also uncomfortable with eye contact as well. You know, a lot of people, for example, on the autism spectrum might not be able to make eye contact with you because they need to dissociate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, is this forcing a neurotypical expectation of what we deem the correct social behavior, you know? Like, that's my other question as well.
All right, off.
I think when, like what Christine said, when you're comfortable with someone, then eye contact isn't a problem. So it becomes like a natural thing. You don't actually realize how much you're looking at the person. But someone once told me, and I can't remember who it is, but someone once told me there's like a ratio, like you mentioned 50-70. That person said, if you're comfortable, then you're not thinking about it, then you're just making natural eye contact.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But if you are thinking about it and you're forced to make like small talk or like social settings and stuff, then look at them for 4 seconds and then look away.
Mm.
So every 4 seconds, so you make eye contact for 4 seconds and then you look away when they are talking.
Mm.
When you're talking, then most probably you're not even thinking about eye contact. So you're just doing whatever it is you're doing.
Mm.
I don't know if that works, but then it's a formula that I've used in emergencies. Like when I'm like completely not interested, I'm like, I just have to do this for the sake of it.
Right.
Then it's like 4 seconds, look away, 4 seconds, look away, 4 seconds, look away.
Right. This is interesting. I've never really had trouble with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I don't know why that is. I think perhaps when I was younger, and this was something that I was exposed to on a regular basis, you know, it was younger family members were brought in front of the clan, if you like, you know, the older family members, and you were forced to stand up and talk and tell stories and things. And I think something like that has really helped me with it.
Mm.
But I do have friends that really, really struggle with it. And, you know, at points I have to say to myself, no, I know they're listening.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, one of the things that I always tell people is that I'm so much more comfortable talking to an audience or, you know, like giving a speech or something rather than a one-on-one conversation.
Right.
And again, this goes for like kind of in a work or professional capacity. Obviously, when I'm just having conversation with someone I'm comfortable with, I'm kind of fine, right? But I think now that I think about it, partially that has to do with eye contact. If you have to look someone in the eye and ask them for something or have that direct connection with someone that you don't know very well, that's terrifying to me, quite frankly.
Interesting, right? That we're at that point where people have to have classes, you know, in the big companies as well.
Mm-hmm-hmm.
But then again, if you're sat staring at a screen for, like they say, 10 hours a day, is it really that big of a deal?
Yeah, the thing is, I also don't know why they've named the screen specifically as the kind of main blaming factor in this as well. You know, I don't know if that's the real catalyst of what has made us more uncomfortable, I guess, with eye contact over the years.
I'm sure we'll
find out. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think we've been uncomfortable and then we sort of look to screens
as a
way
to look
elsewhere.
Now
we have an excuse.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we are going to take a break. Do we have any more messages we can refer to before we take a break? Okay. So we're going to have a music break, folks. We've got some Jet coming up with She's a Genius. Don't forget, we are talking about the idea of hustle culture and whether or not it can be fully productive or fully toxic or, you know, somewhere in between. Let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899 on Twitter or on Instagram at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Then we have story number three about how it's all about using AI to figure out religious conflict. That should be an interesting one. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.